lamps. Some had extra oil for their lamps, and some didn't. And some had to go get more fuel for their lamps. And then they missed the boat. The kingdom of God is like that. That's what it says. Because they didn't plan ahead, they missed the boat. And so I want to say, well, what about because the others wouldn't share? Why is this parable in the Bible? Do you have an answer for that? It's talking about Jesus' coming, maybe. See, Jesus, he taught the disciples. He lived with and among the people. Jesus performed miracles. But now, and by now I mean at some time after Jesus died, he was gone. He died. Many saw him after the resurrection. Many didn't. And then he was gone again. And the people expected him to come back soon. Very, very soon. And time passed. More time. More time. And Jesus didn't come back. So the people, they started writing down the stories of Jesus, the ones that had been preserved through the oral tradition of the time. The written stories started to be collected into larger groups of stories. Some of the collections were lost. Others survived. Of the collections that survived and were deemed ultimately to be authentic, a whole bunch of religious people got together and deemed them to be authentic. Those became the four Gospels. Only the book of Matthew has this parable, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. So before I go any further, a little review lesson. The title of the parable. I said it's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. In other translations, it's known as the parable of the 10 virgins. So what's the difference? Maybe it's really subtle, but there's a context. There's a context in the way that English translates words from Greek or Hebrew. The Greek word translated as either bridesmaid or virgin is parthenos. Remember me saying this before? Who's got really good memory? Yep, there we go. It appears another time in Matthew at the beginning of the chapter when it's used to refer to Mary, using a quote from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There's a little translation issue on that one too, because the word translated as virgin in Isaiah is the Hebrew word Alma. And the Hebrew word Alma means young woman. So Matthew is quoting Isaiah, and Isaiah is using a word that means young woman. And Parthenos in Greek also means young woman, depending on the context. So in Isaiah, actually the passage in Isaiah, it's referring to the king's wife, not a virgin. It's not even in question. It's the king's wife. She's going to have a baby. The young woman will be with child. In today's parable, the passage is referring to bridesmaids. Bridesmaids, especially in the time here, to be called a bridesmaid would mean that you were a virgin. And the quote about Mary, using Isaiah, in the context of Isaiah, means young woman. Behold, a young woman is with child. But today, parthenos, the best translation of it, looking at the context there, is bridesmaid, or, you know, the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins. And bridesmaid now is where we're headed back after that little review lesson. The writer of Matthew remembered this parable and thought it was important enough to include. Why? Well, likely because Matthew was written for a Jewish audience. That's who, where the original Matthew text kind of went. And that audience, they must have been weary in waiting because Jesus, who they expected to return soon and very soon, hadn't come back yet. And it had been a long time. So here's a parable to encourage the readers to be alert, because even though Jesus was delayed, nobody knew when he was coming. but he was coming. The setting of the parable actually is very familiar to the original hearers. In Hebrew custom, this is the way weddings went. The families of the bride and groom agreed that there would be a wedding. The bride and groom had very little to do with it. Families got together, agreed there was going to be a wedding. The groom would fetch the bride for the ceremony, and there was a celebration that lasted for days. During that celebration, the bridesmaids would look really good. And there was a purpose that the bridesmaids would look really good. It's so that they would have a chance to be noticed by possible bridegrooms for themselves. It was sort of like an audition. The fewer bridesmaids at the wedding, the better the odds would be for them. That's the way the original hearers would get it. Of course, why would you want more bridesmaids? If there were 10, why wouldn't 5 be better? Because the odds would be better. The part of the parable where the 5 bridesmaids with enough oil refusing to share with the ones without enough, it goes right to that competition. No, we're not going to share with you. In our context, though, this is a different time. Weddings are different. And it brings up that different question related to the one that I asked right at the beginning of the sermon. Why didn't they pool their resources? Maybe have 2 bridesmaids on each lamp. Have you ever had 2 people share a flashlight or 2 people share an umbrella? I mean, you can do that. There would have been more than enough light. We'll get back to that. That question is here. I mean, and it should be there as we read it, but it wouldn't be one that the early church would have asked. It wasn't important to the early church. What they would have asked is this: when is Jesus coming back? How long do we have to wait? That was the question that had continued with them. How long do we have to wait? And the answer is in the parable. The answer is, who knows? But don't get caught unprepared. Be ready. That's what the parable says. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning, and let it shine. Now, if we strip away what just doesn't translate well, the competition for the best husband and who would miss out on getting that, you still have this huge encouragement to let that light shine now while the waiting continues. That works in both contexts. Let that light shine. But how long does the wait continue? How long? Do you know?
No,
nobody knows. I know even, you know, this year in the news, there's been preachers, or one preacher in particular, who predicted twice the end of the world, and it didn't happen. No. Let it shine. That's what the parable tells us to do. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning. So let's let that question that I asked earlier, twice already, the one that wasn't part of the context for the early church, let's let it be present. Sharing. What about sharing? It's a legitimate question to ask, even though the early church wouldn't ask it. We could take the wise bridesmaid's example and keep everything we've got for ourselves. Or we could instead decide to pool what we do have to make a difference, right? That is the church acting together. What would have happened if the bridesmaids had pooled their resources? Wouldn't they all have gotten to go to the celebration? And sure, the competition would have been fierce, but they all would have been at the celebration. Nobody would be left behind from it. So let it shine. How do we balance our abundance? And I know that that's very relative. How do we balance our abundance with the needs of others? How do we recognize abundance when we're all feeling scarcity? There's not enough to do this. There's not enough to do that. There's not enough to pay this. There's not enough to have that happen. There's not enough. There's not enough. There's not enough. How do we recognize abundance when all that's going through our head is there's not enough? How do we count ourselves blessed? I think one way is we do it by living to make a difference. We're in the middle of this United Church of Christ Mission 1, raising food awareness and money to help feed the hungry and to confront food-related injustice. We've been working with the Mission 1 campaign since July and our own localized expression of it. We're in the middle of our 2012 stewardship campaign. And 2 weeks from today, or earlier if you want, because you've got them in the mail, and if you didn't get one, we can get one to you. We'll be submitting our pledges for financial giving to our church and to our church's wider mission for the coming year. And all of those things, Mission 1, our 2012 pledge drive, they are important. They make a difference. They help us express a vibrant witness of our love for God and for each other. So let it shine. We can count ourselves blessed that we continue to have opportunities to grow in spirit, to grow in relationships, and yes, to grow in numbers. We have continuing opportunities to help meet the needs of others, to meet the needs of the most vulnerable in our communities and in the world. We can count ourselves blessed that we can attend to one another here in our community and in all the world. So let it shine. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Let's all be ready to shine. Amen.